Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hello, fellow patriots and liberty lovers. You are just in time as we get underway with hour number two of the Bobby Mack Electric Radio program on this Tuesday. And as always, your input is invited, encouraged, and welcomed. Here is how you join me and be a part of the conversation today. Just give me a call. Grab the phone and use the Ingalls Advantage talk line number, 800-347-1063, or if you prefer texting, just use the CSRP, Common Sense Retirement Planning text line number, 71307, and my email remains, as always, bob@1063WORD.com. To the phones we go. Leadoff batter in this hour comes from Pelzer, and that is Ben, who we welcome into the show. Hi, Ben. How is your Tuesday?
Doing well, Bobby. How are you?
Doing very well, thank you.
It's always good to talk to you, Bobby. As like yourself, I do believe I am a student of history, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And my point to make now is how the socialists always want to call the right fascist, right?
Right.
The right wing, you're fascist, all that.
Right.
Well, I like to think of it as wings on a bird, correct? What happens when those wings are down? They touch. The left wants to tell you that Hitler was a fascist. Hitler was never a socialist, even though he is a self-admitted socialist himself. And they claim, I called a couple weeks ago about Saul Alinsky. We're living in Saul Alinsky's America,
right?
And how we are perpetrated by the big lie. The left wants you to believe that the right wing is fascist and the left wing, we are the peaceful socialists. But they're using oppression as basically, intimidation, as well as looting and rioting over the fact that we don't want your side to be heard.
Right.
Okay?
Well, and when you look at
fascist playbook.
Yeah, and when you look at two of the most representative examples of the totalitarian philosophy that is embraced in both the fascist and socialist movements, they involve violence and anarchy in the rise of Hitler, the National Socialist Party in Germany, and the rise of Stalin and the Soviet Union, the Communist Party in Russia in 1917. So there are a lot of similarities, but the one thing they have in common is that both are totalitarian ideologies, not democratic, not a constitutional republic as we have in America. They are top down. Both are based on terror, violence, and coercion. And when both get in power, all of the control is concentrated at the top, and those of us at the bottom, as I think it was Margaret Thatcher said under socialism, have an equal sharing of misery.
Yeah, and let me get back to that, the whole big lie. And it's not a theory, it's actually fact. The fact of the matter is a lot of the people saying that Hitler wasn't a socialist, he was a fascist, is the simple fact that, well, Russia, he attacked Russia. Well, why did he have to attack Russia? It's because of the Caucasus. The Caucasus had oil. And Germany is kind of like, we'll just say modern day California. They have no natural resources of their own, except maybe like a little gold. now, but that's about it. They have no oil to keep their industry, the machine running. And that's what you need for your tanks and your supply lines to run. And that's why he broke the treaty with Russia to attack Russia. And it was basically a deal with the devil with the U.S. saying, well, they're fighting the Soviet Union now. Well, I guess you're an ally.
Yeah,
the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
That's right. That old saw about the enemy of your enemy being your friend. But I still remember the words of George C. Scott playing General Patton. When he said, you know,
let's go straight to Russia.
Exactly. Let's fight them while we've got the army here. And and unfortunately, Eisenhower felt that, as did, Roosevelt, who I believe was still alive at that time, that America had shed enough blood at that point. And politically, it was a non-starter.
Yeah, and they didn't want to upset a new quote-unquote ally as well. And,
right.
And I honestly think, in my humble opinion, I'm no conspiracy theorist or anything like that. I think that opinion right there got Patton killed. Or that's just my opinion. You can take that as you will. He died in a car accident. He wanted to go straight on to Russia. Russia was weak at the time. They were basically running thin on their supplies as well. We could have easily ended the socialism right then and there. But, of course, history is, rewritten because of that.
Yeah, and sadly, we have a new player on the field these days as well, and that is the Islamic jihadists. But in a sense, that's born of the same kind of ideologies that we're talking about. Thank you, Ben. Robert, appreciate the call. Good to have you here today, sir. Excuse me, 11 minutes after 4 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Wayne is next up. He is in Greenville. Hi, Wayne. Welcome to the Tuesday Bobby Mac Show.
Appreciate you having me, man.
Yes, sir.
Now, I understand all the BS that's going on right now in the United States, and I'm about fed up with it. But I called in today to talk about, the Soto government. Like, when do we get to have reform with them? You know, overreaching their hands and causing more chaos than it should be as far as their taxes and increasing taxes and, Senate members get to vote for their pay raises every year. I mean, I wish I could vote for pay raises.
It'd be nice.
Every year,
yeah.
$1,000.
Sure.
So I'm just curious when people are going to kind of wake up to that disadvantage is going on too, because, as long as these people that are in power are money hungry and power hungry, they're going to constantly keep, the average Joe like myself. I'm just a plumber. So I would love to know, if that's going to be a topic in the future. Everybody's got a blind eye towards it because of the peaceful protesting and, all this, stuff going on. So I'm just curious what your thoughts are on that.
When you look at what President Trump, the headwinds that he has faced, in the nearly 4 years that he has been in office, to me, it's pretty incredible what he's been able to accomplish with tax cuts and rebuilding the economy to a tremendous level before, of course, we had to deal with the Wuhan flu and what that has done to destroy what Trump had built up. But what a lot of people are concerned with is the shading of difference between the two parties in control in Washington. And there are many who feel, and there's some justification for it, that you're looking at two sides of the same coin. And this is where the presidency of Donald Trump is the difference maker, because Trump is not even taking a salary as president of the United States. Can you imagine subjecting yourself to all the abuse that he and his family have had to experience, and he's not making a nickel doing it?
Yeah, no doubt. And the things that I've heard is he's actually donating the salary that he's supposed to be earning to multiple organizations.
That is correct. That is correct. In fact, he just gave $100,000 to organizations that are rebuilding some of the statues that have been pulled down by the domestic terrorists. But this is the reason why the never Trumpers in the Republican Party, why the Democrats in total, which are now controlled by hard leftists, This is why they are so anxious to remove Trump, because he's the one individual who is not a part of what has come to be known as the swamp. He's the one person that I think many Americans have come to look at as the guy who wants to clean up all the corruption, all of the stuff that's been going on for decades in Washington. Limbaugh made a comment about it earlier today that I thought was right on the money, where he said the Democrats now have become the party of the billionaires, not just the guys on Wall Street, but some of those organizations like the Ford Foundation and others that are hardcore leftists. They are in bed with the Democrats, and it's the Republican Party, the party that had long been identified as the party of the rich, that now is the party of the blue-collar people in America, people like you and me, Wayne.
Yep, I agree. Now, I'm just curious if they're ever going to be like, okay, let's put the power to the people like it's supposed to be and let us vote for how much these chambers of Congress and Senate members actually get to have a salary every year.
Right.
You know, if they're making $40,000 a year like I am, then they either have two options. They can live like that, or they can get another job.
That's
the hard truth of 90% of Americans today.
It certainly makes you wonder how somebody like, well, say, just pick a name out of a hat, Lyndon Johnson, goes to Washington, D.C., dirt poor, and ends up a multimillionaire. Nancy Pelosi is worth over $100 million. How do you get there,
Obama,
on a salary of $170,000 a year?
Well, embezzlement, of course, that one's easy. I mean,
well,
nobody wants to look at that.
It certainly pays to have friends in high places, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Thank you, Wayne. I appreciate the call. Good to hear from you. Thank you. You got to take a quick break here and then be right back with more. 16 after 4 here on the Bobby Mac Show. The Tuesday edition rolls on here on WORD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Coming up on 23 after 4 o'clock here on the Tuesday edition of the Bobby Mac Show. You got a smartphone? You look at the numbers of people that have given up landlines and just use their cell phone or mobile phone as their primary phone. The numbers are overwhelming. Most people these days do have some sort of smartphone, which, I mean, really, when you get right down to it, you're carrying around a computer that you can make phone calls on. And the devices have gotten so smart. For example, here is Alexa on the good news that robocalls have declined in 2020.
And now, good news and bad news from Alexa.
The good news is robocall numbers have dropped in 2020. The bad news is, your smartphone is listening to everything you say. And now your social media feed is going to be littered with commercials for stuff you've talked about. Enjoy your civil liberties, sucker.
There you go. I mean, how many times have you been on the web and looking at something or talking with somebody about it, even when you're not on your phone? And for the next week, you see nothing but pop-up messages for things related to what you were talking about. You know the old saying, a stopped clock is right twice a day. I preface this by pointing out that occasionally, even the Washington Post can write a useful story, like the one from Harvey Rosenfield and Laura Antonini. Data isn't just being collected from your phone, it's being used to score you. Operating in the shadows of the online marketplace, specialized tech companies you've likely never heard of are tapping vast troves of your personal data to generate secret surveillance scores, digital mugshots of millions of Americans that supposedly predict our future behavior. The firms selling these scoring services to major businesses across the U.S. economy and people with low scores can suffer harsh consequences. CoreLogic and TransUnion say that scores they peddle to landlords can predict whether a potential tenant will pay their rent on time, be able to absorb rent increases, or break a lease. Large employers use HireVue, that's HireVue, a firm that generates an employability score about candidates by analyzing tens of thousands of factors, including your facial expressions and voice intonations. Other employers use Cornerstone's score, which considers whether a job prospect, where a job prospect lives and which web browser they use to judge how successful they will be at a job. Brand name retailers buy risk scores from Retail Equation, that's the name of the company, to help make judgments about whether consumers commit fraud when they return goods for refunds. Players in the gig economy use outside firms like Sift, S-I-F-T, to score consumers' overall trustworthiness. Wireless customers, predicted to be less profitable, are sometimes forced to endure longer customer service hold times. Ever wondered why it's taken forever? Auto insurers raise premiums based on scores calculated using information from smartphone apps that track driving styles. Large analytics firms monitor whether we are likely to take our medication based on our propensity to refill our prescriptions. Pharmaceutical companies, healthcare providers, and insurance companies can use those scores to, among other things, match the right patient investment level to the right patients. Surveillance scoring, as it's called, is the product of two trends. The first is the rampant and mostly unregulated collection of every intimate detail about our lives amassed by the nanosecond, from smartphones to cars, toasters to toys. This fire hose of data, most of which we surrender voluntarily, includes our demographics, income, facial characteristics, the sound of our voice, our precise location, shopping history, medical conditions, genetic information, what we're looking at on the internet, the websites we visit, when we read an email, what apps we use and how long we use them, and how often we sleep, exercise, and the like. The second trend driving these scores is the arrival of technologies able to instantaneously crunch this data. Exponentially more powerful computers and high-speed communications, such as 5G, which lead to the scoring algorithms that use artificial intelligence, rate all of us in some way. The result? Automated decisions based on each consumer's unique score that are, as a practical matter, irreversible. That's because the entire process, the scores themselves, as well as the data upon which they're based, is hidden from us. It is mostly impossible to know when you have become the casualty of a score, let alone whether a score is accurate, outdated, or the product of biased or discriminatory code programmed by a faceless software engineer, and there is no appeal. Scoring surveillance bears a faint resemblance to credit scoring in the 1960s. Today's data snoops obtain infinitely more information about their targets and in real time, and the impact of surveillance scoring is far more pernicious. Secret surveillance scoring places us at the precipice of the singularity, a dystopian turning point after which machines will make the judgments about humans that will determine our fate. We either seize control of our future or risk losing it. Look at what the Chinese are doing with their social scoring. You got a low score, you say something critical about the party, you are limited in what you can do, where you can travel, where you can shop, the whole nine yards. And that article, by the way, is also up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1063WORD. Scary stuff. 4:30 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Annie is ready to go to update the news, and I'm right back on the other side. Tuesday edition here on WORD.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back. 4:37 now, 23 before 5 here on the Bobby Mac Show, Tuesday afternoon edition. It's happened again. I've fallen behind here on the text line, so let me take a stab at catching up here. In on the text line, Bobby, sounds just like what the Chinese are doing. Yeah, you may have heard the story. I kind of touched on it earlier in the program today, but the story actually broke, I believe, last week while I was on vacation. According to U.S. Customs and Border Protection, nearly 20,000 fake U.S. driver's licenses were shipped to Chicago's O'Hare Airport and were discovered by the feds and were confiscated. According to the feds, the bulk of these fake U.S. IDs flooding into the country are coming from China and Hong Kong, which the Communist Party now controls. It's no longer democratic Hong Kong. It's just like the rest of China, with the rest coming in from South Korea and the U.K. Officials in Chicago confiscated a shipment of these fake IDs that totaled nearly 20,000, which is pretty incredible, especially when you consider that all the names are completely phony, and yet all are registered to vote and are registered as Democrats. That's why this news today from Columbia is encouraging for us here, at least in the Palmetto State. Can't speak for the rest of them. Today, the South Carolina House voted to uphold and protect the integrity of our elections. You may remember a couple of weeks ago, I told you the South Carolina Senate passed a bill holding strong on voter security with absentee ballots. The Democrats had wanted to loosen up the regulations and restrictions on absentee ballots. For instance, they wanted to have absentee ballots that did not have to be witnessed by anyone. There's a good idea. So the House has now joined the Senate in making sure that those kinds of changes will not be made and will able to uphold some semblance of election integrity. SC GOP Chairman Drew McKissick, who will be with me on Thursday, issued a statement saying, "I want to personally thank Speaker Lucas and Majority Leader Simrell for the leadership they displayed. The upcoming election is absolutely critical, from president on down to school board, and voter integrity must be protected at all cost. Despite the Democrats' efforts to change the voting rules in the middle of the game, voters can rest assured knowing the safeguards we have in place will remain." So that is at least a step in the right direction to ensuring some election integrity this time around. Let me go back to the text line here. Bobby, it's a shame that for the Constitution to provide free speech to the subhuman bottom dwellers, God bless those police officers, 99.5% of decent people being taken over by 0.5%. Bobby, conspiracy alert. Today I saw on WYFF that the Haywood Mall and the Gallery Outlets will be closed for Thanksgiving so employees can spend time with their families. I've never seen this happen in the past. If anything, it's the opposite, with Black Friday deals opening sooner. So when I saw this article, the first thing I thought was, what are the Dems plotting now? Conspiracy or just nice bosses? Well, considering how 2020 has been, and considering that I like to think of myself as a glasses-half-full kind of guy, I'll chalk it up to their wanting to give their employees a Thanksgiving they can enjoy with their families. Bobby, under Obama, it was homosexuality pushed, so companies had to jump on that bandwagon. Now it's BLM. They may continue their lawlessness. These companies need to be put in the spotlight. Bobby, don't forget Nikita Khrushchev's speech. Yeah, back in the, I guess it was late 50s, early 60s, the premier of the Soviet Union at the time, Nikita Khrushchev, gave a speech at the UN, was banging his shoe on the table, and said that they would hang us with the rope that we had made, and that communism would take over. Hard to believe in those days, and yet look at the threat it poses now. As a historical note, Bob, the fascists were socialists. Mussolini's party was the Socialista Italiana, or in English, Italian Socialist. The political left owns socialism and fascism. Bobby picked up my dog at Petco after a grooming. They told me to put on a mask. Great. Let them know I'm a combat vet sprayed with Agent Orange and they could kiss my grits. It went quite well after that. From Gerald in Cowpens. Bobby, screw the World Trade Organization and their ruling. Haven't the Chinese done enough trying to kill us already? Bobby, what was your favorite BLM helmet sticker the Clemson Tigers wore on the back of their helmets versus Wake Forest? Tell you the truth, I was unaware they did. Didn't watch. Bobby, the previous caller mentioned Man and Superman. made me think of Nietzsche. That's who Hitler liked. He thought he was the Superman that was going to lead everyone, where Soros now wants the U.S. to be. Bobby, George Soros promotes crazy Democrats because he wants to institute crazy ideas on how to ruin the U.S. economy. He loves it when markets fail. Post-Soviet market chaos is where Soros would like us to be. Bobby, you see the posts from James Woods, the conservative actor and outspoken critic of leftists in Hollywood, put out a series of tweets after Governor Newsom in California was blaming all the wildfires on climate change. And James Woods tweeted, "Look at the fire map and ask yourself the question, why does climate change stop at the borders of Canada and Mexico?" Funny, they don't have wildfires breaking out in British Columbia. Quarter before five here on the Bobby Mac Show. Be right back here on the Tuesday edition on WORD. Indeed it is. Today is National Thank You Day, so that gives me an opportunity to thank you for allowing us to share at least part of your afternoon, Monday through Fridays here on WORD. 9 minutes now before 5 o'clock. Hey, did you know whatever insane reason you were to cast a vote for Joe Biden, you actually would be voting for the Harris administration? Yeah. That's what Kamala said. Yeah, Kamala Harris, Joe Biden's running mate in the 2020 election, raising eyebrows last night after she accidentally touted economic plans under a, quote, Harris administration. She was speaking during a roundtable with small business owners in Arizona. Harris vowing they will have an ally in the White House with the campaign's Build Back Better initiative. I wonder how this is going to fly in the Latino Hispanic community, considering that unemployment in that demographic dropped to the all-time lowest level before the Wuhan flu did its damage to the economy. The California senator appeared to briefly suggest she was at the top of the Democrat ticket, saying, quote, "A Harris administration, together with Joe Biden as the president of the United States," as she quickly came back and clarified, the Biden-Harris administration. Fraudian slip? Huh? Think if you vote for Biden, you're not voting for a sock puppet? To the phones we go. My pal Christina joins us this afternoon from beautiful Traveler's Rest. Hello, Christina. How was your Tuesday?
Good evening. It's been good so far.
Good.
So, you all at WORD let us know that because of the scamdemic, poll workers were, you know, short supply.
Right.
Because people being afraid. So, doing my civic duty, thought, I haven't been a poll worker before. I printed out the form, filled it out, rode my bike down to County Square, personally handed it to them. Wow. Then, what was it you said a few minutes ago, 49 days till the election?
Correct.
So finally, like last week, I think it was, I got an email from the one of the head Greenville County people, rounding up the new poll workers, and I got an email, and it said, we've been having a lot of trouble with our website, and then you went down, and it said, click here to, like, set up your registration to be the poll worker. So I clicked on it, and lo and behold, what is at the top of the bar? Not secure.
Oh, that's not encouraging.
Secure. Yes. And then you go down at the bottom, and in a big blue paragraph is the fact that it leaves cookies. So so what you had to, and so I should not have done this, but I put in my name.
Right.
You had to put in your name and mm-hmm. your voter registration number, which
okay.
unfortunately that links directly, as if we can all look at our voter registration cards, it has your name, address, and date of birth.
Correct.
So I said, oh, fine. So I said, okay. And then you couldn't go beyond that anyway. So in other words, the website was still screwed up. So
oh,
I have been in contact with, and I don't want to give out their names,
yeah.
but the head guy for all of Greenville County and this particular guy about, you know, what is this not secure? And,
yeah.
and I'm not any techie person, but it doesn't take a genius to see in huge letters at the top, not secure.
Yeah, you don't have to be Wernher von Braun to figure this one out, right?
Yeah, so I asked them, the head guy, I said, I'm no techie. I can't be the first person to point out that it's not secure.
Right.
And what do we need to have? We're not selling widgets here or bananas, so
right.
why do we need to have be utilizing software that leaves cookies?
Yeah.
And so this head dude said he would look into
oh,
why
good.
It wasn't secure. But he said, well, you know, and this is what, when you said, oh, they're making a big deal about they voted in the South Carolina legislature to make sure the election was, according to Hoyle.
Yeah.
Well, he said, well, this software is used by all of the counties in South Carolina. And I said, oh, that's great. You all at WORD have also already told us that the Chinese have said boldly, stood on a soapbox and said, we will be, we do intend to interfere in your elections,
right.
cyber-wise.
Yeah.
So it's like, we
yeah.
don't need this. So I guess I'm still in limbo because I've made such a big stink about this. I did call Mike Burns's office. I haven't heard back from them.
Well,
they said they would look into it.
Well, maybe they actually will, Christine. I guess the question that occurs to me is, why don't they just ask for your social security number on that unsecure site as well? That should be good, too. Hour number three of the Bobby Mac Show is on the way next. 5 o'clock Follies is coming up.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.